We're going to read from Luke chapter 1 and verses 67 to 80, and it's called Zechariah's Song. And this is John the Baptist's father, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sang a song. Amazing, isn't it? Now, how many times are you filled with the Holy Spirit and you go, I'm embarrassed, I'm afraid, I don't know if I should say anything, I don't know if I should share it, I don't know if I should do it. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, something happens, doesn't it? Does it? Yeah. Have you been filled by the Holy Spirit? If you're not, we'll pray for you at the end. Please let us pray for you, because you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't stand up here and speak to you this morning without the Holy Spirit. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he couldn't contain it. He had to release the words of God. And when the Spirit comes upon us, there's something that happens within our mind and our heart and our spirit and our soul that releases the power and the word of God. And when that's released, it cannot come back. And when it's released, it transforms, it changes, it breaks, it anoints, it heals, it brings victory, it brings purpose. It says God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. And when I say I'm going to do it, I will make it happen. Do we believe that? When God says he's going to do something, he makes it happen. But when God says something, not what we want, but when God says something and his spirit moves, that God makes it happen, because it's his purpose and his plan. And Zechariah had to get with God's plan. He was a man who was a priest of the temple. And they cast lots, and unfortunately he had to go into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. They had to tie a rope around him in case he died in the process. So it wasn't always a pleasant thing to go into the presence of God. It was fearful. It could cost you your life. They tied a rope around you to draw you out of that place in case you had an experience with God which killed you and overcame you. That's amazing, isn't it? Yet through Jesus Christ, that we have the permission, the authority to enter into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, and it doesn't kill us. It might break us, but it doesn't kill us. And we can experience the presence and the power of God. And Zechariah entered there, and he had a vision. An angel came before him, and it says, John the Baptist, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, this is prophesying over his child, isn't it? It's beautiful. We should always prophesy over our children, shouldn't we? We should be filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesy over our children and declare what they shall be in God. Do you do that? Do you prophesy over your children? I'm asking you a question. If you don't, do it. Do it. If you don't prophesy over children, do it. Get your hands over them and pray at night. And God, I declare in the power of the Holy Spirit, these will be your children. They will be servants of God, that they will be raised up and lifted up and serve you, and they will honor you. Because your children are surrounded by the world and many influences and media and ideologies, you know, be it in school or wherever, they're polluted from all angles, all places. And so if you're not feeding them, if you're not filling over the Holy Spirit, if you're not praying over them, if you're not prophesying over your children, then somebody else will, and it'll be the enemy. And he said, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Wow. So Zechariah, he went into the temple, and an angel appeared before him and says, your prayers have been answered. And he's going, what prayers? You want a child? Oh yeah, that was a long time ago. We're praying for that a long time ago. We're a bit old now, but you're going to answer that prayer now. He said, yeah, I'm going to answer your prayer. You're going to have a child. And it's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And from when that child's born in the womb, it's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that child will have the spirit of Elijah to tear down religion, to challenge kings, to turn kingdoms upside down, to declare the power of God and say, Yahweh is my God and I am his messenger. He will be a messenger for God. He will be mighty and he will overturn our enemies and he will lead people to the forgiveness of their sins and he will prepare the coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah, you would think, being a priest who works in the temple and should know God pretty well, goes, what? Really? I'm not too sure about that, angel. Oh, what about this? Oh. And then the angel didn't give him a chance. You know, we heard about Mary. The angel sort of gave Mary a chance because she was a young girl, wasn't too sure, asking questions about the mechanics of it all. But here's Zechariah, a priest in the temple of God, asking, what? How's this going to happen? The angel says, oh, shut up. He said, you're not going to speak now until this child is born. And the words that you'll speak, that this will be that you will call this child John. And Zechariah was silent, never spoke again, had to write all these messages down until the baby was born. And then they took the baby and they're going to call him Zechariah because they name him after his father, his only child. And then Elizabeth said, no, he's got to be called John. And they go, what? And then everybody looks at Zechariah and he goes, and he speaks, yes, the child is to be called John. And we read Luke, the first 3 chapters. Isn't it incredible how the Spirit of God is moving? You know, we get so caught up at Christmas with the nativity story. With Jesus and Mary going in a donkey or some animal to Bethlehem and in a manger. That we miss the very fact of what God was doing, of God's plan and purpose. That for thousands of years that would be prophesied that Jesus would be born. And then God brings his plan to fruition through prophecy and through speaking to his people. He speaks to Mary through an angel. Mary prophesies. Mary goes and sees Elizabeth. And Elizabeth has a child which is assigned to Mary that God is doing his plan and working. And when Elizabeth sees Mary, the child is filled with the Holy Spirit and kicks in the womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and she prophesies. And after that, Mary prophesies again and sings to the Lord a beautiful song. An angel appears to Joseph. And God is using the prophetic, the supernatural, the incredible, to bring his plan to fruition, to bring Jesus into birth, into the world. Isn't that incredible? And we read it, it's all a bit chaotic. Isn't that wonderful? Because when we think that God's going to move amongst us and God's going to move in the prophetic, that God's going to start his plans in here, it's going to be chaos, isn't it? We're all going to bump into each other going, oh my goodness me, the Holy Spirit's moving. I've got a song. Oh goodness me, that's kicked me off. The Spirit of God's moving in me. I've got to declare these words. Whoa, the Spirit of God's come upon me and God's going to do this in this place. Isn't that incredible? And some of you are going to think, oh, that's all madness, that's all crazy. But it's in the Bible, that's the way that God works. It was crazy, it was madness, it was God's Spirit moving amongst the most unusual, untypical people, doing His plan, creating things, bringing the whole of the world to salvation. Yet when the Spirit of God comes upon us, what's our response? Sadly. We can be silent, can't we? And we can feel it and we can experience it. And we think that God might be saying something, that God might be doing something, but we go, what do I do with this? Where do I take this? Do I dare say what God has said to me? Do I share it? John's, the Baptist's message was challenging. We weren't like John the Baptist in the church today. Repent, turn of your sins, you serpents and vipers and religious people and things like that. You need to get your heart back to God. My goodness me, the churches would all be empty. We'd only have one big church lying to people. But John the Baptist didn't come to lie. He came to tell the truth. He came to give God's word. He came prophetically to speak to the people of Israel, to prepare them for the coming of the Lord. For the coming of Jesus. And when we celebrate Advent, this time of year, Christmas, traditionally church, we remember Jesus being born into the world, but another part of it was to remember Jesus coming again. And somehow we sit in that place where John the Baptist was, of proclaiming and preparing the way for the Lord to come into the world. And then Jesus coming into the world. And today we stand as messengers to our church, to our community, to our world, to say that Jesus has come and He's been born for the forgiveness of our sins, but He's coming back. And you know when He comes back? My goodness me. It says in one song, here He comes riding through the clouds. Jesus is going to come back in judgment. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be the day of the Lord, which the Bible talks about is terrifying, that people will hide, behind rocks, that they'll be so afraid, they'll be so terrified because Jesus is coming, and they recognize that Jesus has come with authority, with the full power of heaven and His full glory. And when people see Jesus, they will fall down and they will be terrified and they will be afraid because they know that judgment is coming. Yet what do we do about it? We stand as messengers today We stand in the spirit of Elijah, called to preach a gospel that will turn up nations, which will challenge kings and queens, which will challenge authorities, that will challenge ideologies, which will challenge the world and the way it stands. We have good news because we know when the Messiah came, he didn't come to judge the world, but he came to save the world and to love the world and bring forgiveness and hope. But he will come again. He tells us he will come again. And on that day, it will be a dark and terrible and horrible day for those who do not know Jesus. And we stand as messengers. We have a gospel, a good news to tell that there is hope now. There is opportunity now. That you can turn to Jesus, that you can believe in him, that you can trust in him, you can follow him, you can bear fruit for him, you can be anointed by him, you can be empowered by him, you can be set free by him, you can be released by him, you can be healed from him. You can be transformed by him. Your whole world can be changed if you can experience Jesus now. Because the time of judgment is coming. And Jesus is coming with his winnowing fork. A good old thing from agriculture to separate the wheats and the tares. And judgment will come. Yet we can stand there and we can say to people, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Good doing, King James. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming back, but the opportunity now is to believe, is to trust in him, to be set free. And when the people, they came to John the Baptist to be baptized, because John the Baptist, he was out in the desert. He was separated from the religious institution. He was on the edge of religion and faith. He said, come and be baptized, repent of your sins. Now, they could have went to the temple for that. They could have went to the priest and made a sacrifice and asked their sins to be forgiven. But they went to John the Baptist on the edge of the faith and the religion. And they went to him and they said, baptize us. We want to repent of our sins. We want to be forgiven. And even the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to John the Baptist and they said, we want to be baptized. We want to have our sins forgiven. He said, oh, you vipers, you hypocrites, you snakes. He was challenging because he said, my baptism is not another external thing that you can put on. You have your temple, you have your religion, you have your beliefs, you have your scriptures, you have all these things, and you believe in them and you trust in them and you put them externally in your life, but inwardly you're rotten. Inwardly you don't have God. Inwardly you're broken. Inwardly you're lost. Inwardly you're sinful. Inwardly you're evil. And you come here with the pretense that you're holy, that you're right and good because you follow some religious practices. He said to him, flee from the wrath that is to come. And in the Methodist societies and the class meetings of John Wesley had for the Methodist church, Do you know one of the first questions that you were asked to be a member of the class meeting in the Methodist church, which was your small group? Do you ask the same thing in this church? John Wesley asked the people, are you fleeing from the wrath that is to come? Are you fleeing from the judgment of God? Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to be transformed? And Wesley coined the phrase to be born again, to be renewed in our lives, because Wesley challenged the people. They came, they said, look, I've given you these rules of the society. I've given you these things that we should obey God and trust God and read God. And Wesley was an incredible person. You know, he had the Holy Club. He read the Bible. He fasted. He prayed. He did all the religious things. He did all the right things. But what transformed Wesley was when his heart was strangely warmed, when he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he knew that he was following God not just by rules, not by religion, not by ritual, not by words, but following God by a transformed and a renewed heart, that he knew God personally, that he has been transformed inwardly, that he was being filled with love and hope and joy and peace. And Wesley would challenge the people who would come to small groups and these things and said, where are you with God? Imagine you ask somebody in a small group that, where are you with God? What sins have you committed this week? What do you need to repent of? My goodness me, we all got our lists. I've got my list too. Because he was challenging them like John the Baptist to say, don't come with this outward appearance of being religious and holy and thinking inwardly you've been transformed, that inwardly your life is pleasing to God. It's not. You need to repent of your sin. You need to be renewed. You need to be transformed. You need to fall in love with him. You need to know him. And so Wesley would challenge the people coming into his classes to say, it's not enough just to follow the rules, because with Methodism we've got lots of rules. If any church was going to experience revival because of rules, it would be in a Methodist church, amen? Maybe the Quakers have got more, but you wouldn't think so, would you? But they do have more, actually. But if it was about rules and regulations, we would be in revival. We'd be transforming the whole world, wouldn't we? If it was about rules and ritual and about all these things, we would be super, wouldn't we? As a Methodist church, we would be taking the big prize. We would be the big church boy in the world, wouldn't we? Yet to flee from the wrath to come. Is to know that the Lord is coming. And that our time is short. And our life is short. And our opportunities are short. And somehow we've got to come before God. We've got to come in repentance. And say to God, I'm sorry if I've been a Pharisee. I'm sorry I've been religious. I'm sorry if I put yokes on myself and other people. I'm sorry if I've used church and ritual and church life as an excuse to know you rather than really knowing you. It's easy as a Christian to put on a pretense, isn't it? We can attend everything, go everywhere, yet we don't know God. And John the Baptist is saying, it's time to know God. It's time to break your heart. It's time to be filled with the Spirit. It's time to prepare for the coming of the Lord. It's time to preach the gospel. It's time to stand against the lies of the world. It's time to speak out and cry out for God's kingdom and God's purpose, to know that we have a Messiah who loves us, who died for us, who forgives us, and that forgiveness is there for all. But we've got to open our mouths. We've got to cleanse our hearts. We've got to be purified. We've got to be submitted to Him. We've got to be on our knees to Him and say, "Here I am. Here's Gary. I am a servant of God. Yahweh is my God, and I am His messenger. Because I'm filled with His Spirit, I stand in the line of prophets. I have a message to declare to the world. Repent and turn to Jesus. I've got a message to give to the church. Repent and turn to Jesus and break your heart and break your religion and come to Him. I've got a message to say to the Methodist church, stop compromising. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for the Word of God. Stand up for the authority of God. I've got a message for powers and authorities. Elijah stood up against Ahab. He stood up against Jezebel. He stood up against the prophets of Baal. He stood against the Asherah priests. And he showed that God is victorious. And he took a sacrifice of a bull and he said to those priests of Baal, "I will challenge you. I will show you who the real God is, who the true God is." And in his fear, and in his heart, and in his pain, because Elijah was fearful. He was afraid. He was afraid for his life. He ran away. But he stood there when the Spirit of God was upon him. He said, "I will challenge the ideologies in Israel. I will challenge the false gods. I will challenge the false prophets. I will challenge those who speak against God. I will challenge those who come against the authority of God." And he took a sacrifice and said, "Okay, prophets of Baal, here you go. You get your calves. So you cover them with fuel. You tell your God to set them on fire." And in his holy arrogance, isn't that amazing? Holy arrogance, isn't it? I love that. In his holy arrogance, he said, "Here's my sacrifice. I'm going to dig a ditch. Dig it deep. And I'm going to cover my bowl with water. And I'm going to fill the ditch so it's so filled with water. And I'm going to pray to my God. And I'm going to pray to my God to set my sacrifice on fire. And you pray to your God to set your sacrifice on fire." And they prayed. And they prayed. And the prophets of Baal prayed. And they cut themselves. They did everything ritual. All their folly, all their things following their false God and their false belief. And nothing happened. And Elijah prayed, "God, send the fire." And what happened? God sent the fire. And the sacrifice of the bull was consumed. The wood was consumed. The water was consumed. Everything was consumed. There was nothing left. The fire, and God came and consumed that sacrifice to Him. And Elijah says, "Who is the true God of Israel?" And we stand filled with the Holy Spirit, that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets, yet even the least of in the kingdom of God is greater than him. The least in the kingdom of God filled with the Holy Spirit is greater than John the Baptist. Don't you realize your potential? Even if you think you're the least, you're still greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that amazing? Come on, let's celebrate. Yay! Come on. Do you get it? We are not spiritually limited. We're only limited by the amount of Spirit that we're willing to release within us. We can choose to be the least, yet we still should be greater than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? Because the power that is within us. But we're a bit like fleas, aren't we? Not itchy, but they don't even seem. There's this experiment they do with fleas. And they take a bunch of fleas and they put them in a jar. And the fleas try to jump out, but as soon as they put the lid on the fleas, on the jar, or the lid where the fleas are, the fleas will jump up and they'll hit the top of the lid. And they'll stop. And then you leave them for about 3 hours, and they keep on hitting their head off the... It's a bit like being a church minister. Hit their head off the top of the jar. And they go, boom, boom, boom. And then 3 hours later, you just remove the lid. And they won't jump higher than where the lid was on the jar. They'll just jump. You can look on Google it. Google for everything. You can look in Google, and the fleas will just jump as high as a jar. And you can remove the jar, and the fleas will just stay in a pile at that, and they'll just jump in that one pile. Wee! 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 Isn't this good? Isn't this good? But they don't realize how limited the world is, where they could go, the opportunities, whose blood they could suck. They just jump in a little pile, going up 3 inches. Wee! 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 And you know what's even worse? The offspring that they have will be born into that group of fleas, and they'll only jump a few inches in the air. And their offspring will only jump a few inches in the air. Therefore, when we limit ourselves in the potential of God within us, we become like fleas. We just jump so far. We just move so much in the Spirit of God because we've limited ourselves. And that happens after generation and generation. Unfortunately, the church, the generations after us jump lower and jump less until they just sit in a mass and it doesn't matter anymore, corrupted by the world. And so are we fleas stuck in a jar that are limited? Are we Christians stuck in a church, which is a jar where we're limited by our concepts and our ideas? Or are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we in a line of prophets? Are we greater than even John the Baptist, even if we're the least? Can we transform this world? Can we be like Elijah and stand up and say, no, I will show you. I will declare to you through the power of the Spirit of God that my God is God of this church, of this community, of this country, in this world. Do you believe that? It's time to start living in it. It's time to start showing people and demonstrating to people. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to pour water over myself. I'm going to show you how damp I am, how broken I am, how hot I am, and how worried I am. But when the Spirit of God comes within me, you cannot contain me, because the Spirit comes and consumes me. And you say, I am the sacrifice, God. I am the sacrifice. I'm laying my life down the altar, and I want you to consume me. And I want your Spirit to come within me and raise me up to who I can be in the kingdom of God. I want to reach my potential. I'm tired of not reaching my potential, God. Who's tired of not reaching their potential in God? You know, that should be everyone, because we're not doing great, folks. So I pray this morning that we have people in this church who will be anointed not only with the Holy Spirit, with a spirit of Elijah. Who's the unfortunate people? Who's going to be the forerunners? Who's going to be people who say, the Lord's coming back, and I'm preparing the way, and I'm going to challenge society and the world, my family, my friends, and I will show them through the power of the Holy Spirit that my God is the true God. I pray that God will anoint people here with the spirit of Elijah, that you will challenge nations and kings and queens and powers and authorities and politicians, that you will challenge ideologies and fears and the things that the world brings against us as a church that we know are wrong, that you're going to rise up and you're going to speak out and you're going to declare for God's kingdom, you're going to demonstrate through the power of the Spirit that your God is God and your God is victorious. There's people here, there's too many people here. You've given in. You've accepted your limitations. You've set your limit. You're allowed to God to move you so far. until your own limits, your own expectations stop you. And God says, I'm going to remove the lid of the jar. I'm going to get rid of the jar. And I'm going to renew your mind and transform your mind, your thinking, your spirit, so that you can jump beyond the limits that you've set yourself. And that you will realize how much you can achieve with God and this power of His Spirit. As you break the bonds of religion and fear and doubt and worry upon your lives. So I'll remove your mind to set you free to be the potential person that you can be in me. And I'll break that has been placed upon generation who have been limited and only jumped so far because you've only jumped so far. Isn't that a worry, isn't it? That we only limit ourselves. Those fallen ourselves, fallen us, how much more are they going to limit themselves because they've seen us in our life? You're preparing the way for the Lord. He's coming back. We have an idea that's going to happen. But today you stand in the power of the Spirit of God, anointed to speak to people. Ready yourself, prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus and be set free. We have no other message. We have no other purpose than to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And to worship God and give Him the glory. Amen. Let's pray. I'll ask the band to come back up as well, if I can have the band up as well. So let's just pray. So Father God, we just pray for your anointing on life this morning, Lord, that you begin to set people free. Lord, that you speak into the hearts of minds of everyone here, Lord, that you know their love for you, their desire for you, Lord. And we thank you that as a congregation that we love you and that we desire you and our hearts are to serve you and to glorify you, that we want to live like Jesus, that we want to show hope and love to our community, Lord. And we just pray that you may increase that within our lives, Lord, that your Spirit may increase within us now, that you may bring a hope in this season of Christmas, that we might be messengers for you to declare your glory and your honour, that we might prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus, and that we may bring people, many people, to repentance and to the forgiveness of sins through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.